Welcome back to Our Soul, a podcast by Faith Choice Ohio, Ohio's faith voice for choice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Our Soul. I am here. Terry is not with me. I know last time we made it sound like the next time would be us together, but I will be with Terry in a couple weeks. But today I have with me one of our other Faith Choice Ohio staff, Kate Moralde, the volunteer intake coordinator for the Jubilee Fund. Kate, you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It is such an honor to be on your 101st podcast.
Yes.
Very exciting. So yes, my name is Kate Moralde. I am the volunteer and intake coordinator here at Faith Choice Ohio for the Jubilee Fund. I guess a little bit about me is I don't want to say recent, but I graduated my grad school in public health back in May 2023. It's been almost a year. And so I graduated in public health. I have an interest in, you know, making changes on like community-wide level stuff. And not only that, an interest in like maternity infant health care and AAPI and of course reproductive justice. So I guess we can get a little bit into there, but that is my summary background on me.
Yeah. Awesome. I know like you and I are like some of the younger people and stuff. I graduated from grad school just a couple years ago. So I definitely understand that like the first year out of grad school can be kind of weird not being in school anymore. But yeah, I am so excited to have you on here with us. Well, with me. And I'd love to hear a little bit more. I know when I went to grad school, it was kind of a process to get into repro, and especially like after Roe falling and all of that, it was something that was really important to me. But I would love to hear more about like what brought you into repro specifically. I know you mentioned repro and maternal health. I want to hear more of your story. What got you into repro? Why Faith Choice Ohio?
Okay, so what got me into repro? I want to say that for me, my repro journey was like a very slow and up and coming kind of like long journey. I want to say it started back in like undergrad. I didn't really have like a clear understanding of what reproductive health entails. But it kind of made me turn my head when I first started in undergrad. But to like, I don't want to get into too many details, but I think it came from a place where it was mostly from just like broken trust and like lack of understanding from like other parties. And I just felt so hurt from that. And so I kept that in the back of my mind, and like moving forward, I was just like, I always felt like, okay, I hope no one ever experiences this, but like, how can I get into that? And so that really took a back seat until I hit my graduate years in public health. And so I'm in public health. I have my master's program project coming up. It's my senior year and I'm freaking out. I'm not really sure what I should be doing, but like you said, the fall of Roe v. Wade was a very critical topic at that time. It was the time of summer. And so I turned to my organization, OPAL, Building AAPI Feminist Leadership. I had great support there, and I asked Jonah, I'm like, okay, so I have this graduate project, but I want to make sure that I can connect it to a topic that is very near and dear to me. And I said, and I thought to myself, okay, let's do AAPI advocacy in the reproductive justice space, because for quite some time, AAPIs in Ohio haven't really been invited or welcomed into the reproductive justice space. And when we are, I feel like a lot of people feel like the AAPIs are very just tokenized and whatnot. Mm. And so I think it's really hard to like get into that space, and we still have some difficulties even now after the success that we have. But going back to it, I started that project, and I believe it was either Jonah or someone else, they recommended me connecting with Elena because she had done so much amazing work in the reproductive justice space. So I connected with Elena. She became one of like kind of like my advisors, or someone who really helped to input give some input in my senior project. And yeah, she began to notice my work. And because of the work that I did with Opal, Elena actually invited me to be part of the team at Faith Choice. And that is how I have ended up here in my role. And it's been an amazing time. I've been here since August, and it's been, 6 months? I cannot count. 1, 2,
it's
three,
like 8 months now.
Eight months. Yeah. And in that time, I feel like I have, I've had such a fulfilling journey because I've been able to connect with so many individuals. And yeah, that is how I ended up here at Faith Choice Ohio, and in the roles of where I've landed in my reproductive justice journey.
Yeah. And what a like wild time to join the team. I mean, like you talk about in August, that's when we had issue one, where we were voting no on issue one, and then issue one where we were voting yes on issue one. Just a lot of stuff to be doing then. And then I know like that probably was a bit of a whirlwind. So like now that you've been here for 8 months, like what is your everyday look like, and what was that that transition from like what I imagine was a really chaotic time for you into what I hope now is like maybe a little more mellow than 8 months ago, but how has that been? Just wanting to hear more about that.
Yeah, I will say it was pretty chaotic because not only was I, you know, onboarded here at Faith Choice Ohio, at the same time, I was working with Opal as their reproductive justice community engagement associate. I think that was the title. And so not only was I, you know, onboarding here at Faith Choice, I was working on doing like comms and doing an advocacy to increase our community, like education and capabilities in like engaging within that space too. So there was a lot of meetings. I think, oh my gosh, it was such a long time ago, it feels like. But I think that there was just so much more focus and engagement at that time that I feel like now that it's been a couple of months, I think that the community's engagement has kind of just like drifted off. And although that we have won issue one, you know, the second issue one, although we've won it, it's still not the end goal. Because just because we have this right doesn't mean that we're able to access this right. And so there's just so much work that needs to be done because there's so many like financial barriers, transportation barriers, work barriers, like so many people are unable to access that right because we don't have the means to do so. And so it's so critical now that, you know, it's so critical for us at Faith Choice Ohio to continue the work that we're doing because, you know, we're seen as almost a safe haven for like neighboring states like Kentucky, I think West Virginia and possibly Indiana too. I know those states have restrictive laws, and so Ohio is able to, you know, have all these people come in. But even so, it's a critical juncture for like abortion funds like us, and we just got to keep going.
Yeah. I think like what you were saying was like very accurate. You know, there's always been discussion about how row was never the answer and how row was the floor. And I think, like, you know, now Ohio's gotten the floor underneath us, but that's not, like, the end. Like, there are still all of these issues. There were issues with row before it fell, and this is kind of, like, a similar situation. And it's weird to hear that, like, Ohio is, like, the safe haven, because I always talk about how Ohio is, like, the bad place and, like,
right.
How... There's just been a lot of legislators and leaders in Ohio who are not fully representing the people and what the people want and need. So for the floor, for the baseline to be a safe haven for other states is kind of, I mean, disappointing both for the other states and for us. If we're going to, you know, be that safe place for other people, we have a lot of work to do. But yeah, I think... Like, you bring up a good point about, like, access and, like, who has access and who has the ability to kind of step away from, like, the advocacy portion of things. And I'm just thinking back to what you were saying about, like, how AAPI people are, like, often tokenized in the reproductive justice movement. And I think about also how just, like, people of color are often tokenized within the reproductive justice movement, and even so, it is the people of color who are most often, like, affected by barriers to access or barriers to around, like, finance and, like, those kinds of things. So I just think it's and I've noticed also, you know, with we have our self-managed abortion in good faith trainings, and I think before Roe fell, those were definitely, like, a lot more popular and had a lot more people coming, but now that, like, we have baseline protections for Ohioans, there's just not been as much participation in those. And I think, like, you know, it's telling for, like, who gets to not care about this and who doesn't get to not care, and also who has the time to be able to be trained in things like it. Like, our SMA and good faith training is mostly around, like, how do you help other people have the conversation about self-managing an abortion, and also how do we have that conversation and talk about the process as outlined by the World Health Organization, and how to share that information to other people. So it's mostly about becoming a resource, and who has the access to becoming a resource, who gets to decide, like, if they do or do not have the time for that. Probably not the people who are having issues accessing, you know, abortion care, or who have to make reproductive health decisions within the context of, you know, not having or not being able to, you know, if you have to worry about childcare or how far away you are from the hospital or how much the abortion is going to cost, then it's a lot more difficult. So I don't know. I guess, like, I'm hearing you talk about this, and I know the work is super fulfilling for you and really great, but just thinking about who often has to access these resources and why, like, you know, if you are privileged, you should, like, try to step up and, like, be a part of the movement. I know, like, your job is specifically, like, around, like, volunteers and working on the Jubilee Fund, and I don't know if you have more to say around, like, who, or like, if you're getting volunteers even now, or, you know, what your work looks like as the volunteer intake coordinator.
Yeah, as the volunteer and intake coordinator, like I said before, it seems like there was a lot of people who were more so interested in volunteering right after the fall of Roe v. Wade, but not as many people, I think, I don't want to say interested, or maybe their capabilities have changed and, like, the timing isn't just working out, but I think it's a lot harder to kind of rally these volunteers right now. I'm not really sure what the reason is, but it would be nice to have some kind of insight in order to, like, help to coordinate things better. But So far, it's been difficult, I would say, trying to get people connected, mainly with just like drivers, because like we've said before, we have a lot of people coming either in state or out of state. And sometimes some people just do not have cars or don't have cars that have the capabilities that are able to drive very long distances. So, you know, they mm-hmm. might risk breaking down on the side of the road, and that delays treatment, and, you know, that increases car repairs. And so we really rely on those volunteer drivers to help them drive to and from the appointment. But It's been quiet on the front line so far, and although that is a little difficult, I will say that I think there's just so many other people in other organizations that they're trying their best, and they're working to help coordinate with our own like organization to help fulfill those roles too. So yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, you know, all trying to help each other and make sure that like people who need to get their abortions are able to get their abortions without like, you know, sacrificing their car or whatever things that happen with like trying to do that transportation. It makes me think a lot about like how our state is not very good for like public transport,
and it's
it's like very car centric. I've been seeing a lot of those like little graphics that it's like, here's the railway system in like Europe, and here's what it looks like in the United States, which is like nothing. But yeah, I think like it's definitely been like a bit more difficult. I don't know if there's just so much going on all the time. You know, I think in some ways like the worlds can be kind of overwhelming. I know myself, and I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but like often when like my form of self-care is not watching the news or not really like pursuing the news specifically. Mm-hmm. If the news comes to me, I will see it, but I don't like go out looking for it, because I know that the news for me, as a person with like ADHD and like other mental health issues, like it just can be really overwhelming and like take me out of whatever I need to be doing. So I don't know if a lot of people are like in that kind of space, where, you know, they're overwhelmed by like, there's just so much going on. There are so many different issues, you know, that are happening in the world, wars that are happening in the world, like, and it can be hard to figure out like what your like role in the greater justice movement looks like. I think in some ways I feel lucky to know my role, because it is my job. Like, that is what I do as my job every day, is be in the reproductive justice movement and work to help make sure that, you know, at If One Hell, I am a development coordinator, and so trying to make sure that we are well resourced. And here, you know, I do a lot of like education and talking to people, so making sure we're well educated. But I think like maybe it can be harder for people who are not working in like a social justice space to know what their role is. And so when there's like 10 million things coming at you, it can be difficult to know. But even so, somebody help. We still, despite the fact that like Roe fell and Ohio was able to get issue one and have those basic protections, which like, yes, celebrate me and Kate are on video, and so Kate did a little clap for issue one, which always clap for issue one. You know, it is a space to celebrate, but also at the same time, like, there is still so much work to do, and a lot of that like needs people, and it can be hard when the people aren't showing up and you can't how do you say like, hello, what can we do to make it so you could so you can help us? Because I do believe there are people out there who probably have the capability, but also like may feel overwhelmed by everything else that's going on. I don't know if you are feeling that same amount of like overwhelm and like just the world every day is just I am frequently blaming the planets for all the things that are going on, because that is what I do for my own mental health. But I don't know if you are feeling the same level of like overwhelm in this moment.
I would say in some sense, yes, I do feel overwhelmed. I mean, like, I get so many notifications for like apps and stuff because there are so many things, apps, companies, organizations, the algorithm is like vying for your attention because like it sucks because, you know, you are the product. They want you, your attention span. And I feel like that in general. And so like, there's just like so many things and it breaks my concentration and attention. And for someone who also does have ADHD too, it like throws me off my game. But I think in general for like a lot of like my personal people in my personal network, I think there is some kind of like, there is some kind of like apathy going on in the world because, there's just so many things vying for our attention. And not only that, there are things that are, that is a direct influence that directly influences them. So whether it be like, you know, housing, the economy, the job market. And by the time that you have, like, by the time it hits to the end of the day where it's just like, okay, do you decide whether you want to have like relaxing me time or do you want to put that time and effort in trying to improve your community and like for the benefit of like others? But it, for like so many people, like, because I do have this conversation with a lot of my personal network because that's also part of my job. Part of my other job is to, you know, try to get them into the political sphere. It's just like the motivation is just not there because they have so much on their plate. And I mean, like, they're right. I part of me, like, I do feel bad because I'm asking for their precious time and attention, and there's so much that we can only have. And so I don't want to blame the individual, but yeah, I want to blame the world. Like,
yeah,
it's how we've created these systems and structures that have limited our ability. And you know what? I think it's like the hidden powers in these systems and structures. They're creating it that way. So that way we become apathetic and that we don't have any motivation to, you know, be part of the social justice movement. And it sucks. I mean, like, I think they might be winning. I don't want to say that. But like so many people that I know, they just, it's hard for them to become involved. And I do get that because I think they've worked so hard to be in the place that they're in. And I want them to like enjoy the time that they have because you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Definitely on the same page about like, you don't want to blame like the individual, but I feel like the system is setting it up. So I think a lot about like how and I've likely talked about it on this podcast before, but a lot about like how the other side, the antis, like the people who are working against like repro or just like social justice stuff in general. I think a lot about how, and I think Terry talks about this in his religion and repro kind of trainings. But how the other side has been very structured, has had like one goal of like, okay, this is what we're saying, this is how we believe about this, and like not having to think about like, how do I think about this, or like, what is my opinion? Whereas on the other side, in the reproductive justice space, in like a lot of social justice spaces, there is space, and I don't think this is a bad thing, but there's space for people to have their own opinions and make their own choices and like be individualized. However, it also makes it difficult to like rally around each other. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for like people's free time and like how they choose to spend that time. And I, you know, I am like always advocating for people to take care of themselves and to, you know, make choices that are in their best interest because, you know, if you're not caring for yourself, you don't show up 100%. And then at the same time, it like makes it more difficult when we're not some like when the reproductive justice movement is not one that's like demonizing or casting shame on people who are, you know, not out there doing all the things. You know, we as people who have like faith backgrounds as well, you know, I think we try to resist the like shame aspect. I know at least with my growing up, I felt this need to like be volunteering in things and to be spending all of my free time like giving back to the community, because like that was the way that I was like taught and raised. And now being in a space where we're actively resisting, we're like, take care of yourself. Like if you need space, like stop and do stuff for yourself in your free time. But that at the same time makes it more difficult to like move the work forward when you're not getting people who are motivated by shame. But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to be shaming people or guilting people into doing work. Really, we need to know where to place the blame, which is at capitalism, which is at, you know, the people who are holding these powers in place, like thinking about large corporations that continue to inflate prices. So then people have to spend more time worrying about money or working more or doing all of that, or just being so exhausted with work that they go home and just like need a rest. Yeah. So, I mean, just like validating everything you said, like we're in this weird space where we both need the community to show up for each other. And also are very understanding of the fact that, like, sometimes you can't show up, and that's fair.
Totally agree with all of those points. And, you know, using shame as, like, an agent for change is definitely going to, it's going to shut out so many people, especially people who are, you know, they may be on the fence of, like, wanting to participate in these, like, changes and stuff. But as soon as you use shame, it's just like, oh, I don't think I want to be part of that kind of organization. And so like, yeah. it's great that you bring that up, because we forget, I feel like most of the time these like topics are always just like very polarized and stuff, like always like left and right and whatnot. But we forget about the people who are in the middle. And so I feel like those people are like, those people are just like someone we want to like target, because I think there's just like so many individuals who are on the fence, but they either just don't know where to go or like what they want to believe on, because there's just like so many channels of just like A, like disinformation, or just like B, it's just like overcrowded information. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Not really sure where I'm getting with that point.
Just like lots of information to receive, and like can be that in itself can be kind of overwhelming. But I also agree that like I think there are people who like could be activated and could feel connected in a lot of our work, but maybe on the fence and like you know, not know where to plug in, what to do. Well, I mean, like, for those people, I would definitely, like, encourage them to, I know, like, I was talking about the SMA and good faith training. That is just, like, a good place to just, like, receive information. And, like, I guess making it clear on here, like, when we do our trainings and when we do, like, our education stuff, we never put like shame on people, and it's not like if you show up you must like do whatever. There's not like this pressure or anything like that. I think that's something that we actively like work against. We want people to show up as they are and like give what they can give and not over give. But we just want people to show up. And I know like when we have our SMA and good faith trainings, we're, you know, just giving a baseline, like, ask your questions and we will answer them to the best of our ability. And, like, maybe you don't know anything about SMA and you just want to learn something. That's fine. And you don't even have to be on camera for our SMA trainings and our other trainings. Like, we never really have any requirements that people participate in any way that's, like, not comfortable for them. And maybe people don't know that. So this is me saying that if you want to get plugged in, you know, feel free to sign up for our stuff. And we try to be like a very welcoming place, a place that you can have as your, you know, starting point, as working here was for me. And, you know, it sounds like for you as well, in our repro journey. Yeah. It's a good place to check in. It's a good place to start.
I would agree too. After like all of my experience, I would 100% agree. Like, this is a great place to start, Faith Choice Ohio, because, you know, I've had such a fulfilling experience. But I guess, like, I don't know if you ever do this with like your listeners, but are you ever just like, yeah, for my listeners out there, do you ever pose a question like, what prevents you from being part of it?
I would love to know.
Yeah.
You know, if you are listening to this and you want to, like, you know, let us know, like, what keeps you from, you know, participating in our stuff, or what you are looking for, maybe we can put a little, like, Google form thing so you can anonymously let us know, like, what you're thinking about, what keeps you from being trained, or what keeps you from getting involved, and maybe we can make things better, you know?
Yeah.
We'd love to have you and whatever we can do. So that's all the time that we have for today. Kate, do you have anything else you want to say before we log off?
Oh my gosh. No, I wasn't prepared for that part. I have nothing else to say other than woohoo, happy 101st podcast.
Yeah. You're all good. Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening, and I'll be back in 2 weeks with Terry. And thank you, Kate, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Our Soul. If you'd like to hear more of our conversations on religion, abortion access, and all things repro, you can find all our episodes on Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. For more content, training, and other information, check us out at faithchoiceohio.org.